My Hazrat, Rahmatullah Alayh, may Allah's mercy be upon him. Especially in special times or to special people, select people, he would sometimes say a dua. He would state a dua, a prayer. Obviously, the duas that come out from the statements of the walis of Allah, they have an effect and they are accepted in the court of Allah. And they have a deep meaning. They have a deep meaning. And very heavy, weighty. And this was Ajib, unique dua. In his own language, he would say this dua, that Allah razi tewe. This is a fantastic dua. That may Allah be happy with you, may Allah be pleased with you. Subhanallah. I think after that, there's nothing left. Nothing remains. That after Allah's radha, what else does the human being require? Think about it. So, such a complete and jami'a dua of Hazrat Sahib, subhanAllah, whoever earned that dua, then he is successful. Because everything is based on, all success is based on Allah's radha. If Allah is happy, our salah will be accepted. If Allah is happy, then our ibadat will be accepted, worship will be accepted. If Allah is happy, then everything of ours will be accepted. If Allah is happy, we'll attain paradise. If Allah is happy, then we'll get high rank. If Allah is pleased, then we will get all the rewards. Everything is based on Allah's radha. And Jannah is the place, the destination due to Allah's radha, Allah's pleasure. So in reality, the objective of the human being is to please Allah. Not to make Allah unhappy. We haven't come to this world to displease Allah, have we? Or we're not passing our life to make Allah unhappy. A person cannot live a second like this if Allah is unhappy. Then tell me, what can be the life of that person? A person can't even stay in the house. If someone is upset with you at home, if your father's upset with you, your mother's upset with you, or somebody elder in the house is upset with you, then a person is distressed, he's in difficulties, in a tight position, until the environment, the house is not positive. So if Allah is the owner of the universe, the Lord of the universe, if He's unhappy, then what's our situation? What will be the relationship between that makhluk creation and Allah? Listen and understand the importance of this. In reality, every second Allah Ta'ala has given to us is precious, and it's precious at that time when Allah is happy with His servant. Look here. Allah Ta'ala has given us opportunities for this. And it's Allah's grace, it's His fadl, His blessings, that we are not here for any other objective, that we should forget what our purpose is and go towards other objectives. Allah has given us Ramadan for this reason, all of it, that we please Allah somehow or other. Remember this. It's not the objective of Ramadan, isn't anything else. The main objective and purpose of Ramadan is to seek and find Allah's happiness and to please Allah. All year long we make mistakes and we make Allah unhappy. What else do we do? Tell me that Allah, you're unhappy, we want you to be happy, and there's a measurement yardstick for happiness, that if you follow the preference of somebody according to what they want, then he'll be happy. And if you go against what they want, then they'll be unhappy. If you ask the father, why are you happy with your son? That he doesn't listen to me. I say something, he does something else. That's the first complaint of the father, isn't it? That, for example, what shall I do? He doesn't listen to me. I say something else and he does something else. So when you see that he's happy, then the first words that will come out, whatever I say, mashallah, he obeys what I say, he's very good. So how much, this is a yardstick, this is the measurement gauge, and we use this for other things, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's relationship with us, we forget this principle. So this is a very important situation, and we reject this, that there's no need for this. Yes? And although Allah ta'ala, for everything He has told us to remember this point, just as I've explained, that the company of the walis of Allah, this is what we learn and what we attain. So He gave dua, and what a great dua. He didn't say that may your business flourish, may your wealth flourish, or your shop be successful, or this happen, or may you get married, or may you have children, or have awlad. No. He wanted that all of these things happen. By one statement, everything is encapsulated in that, included that Allah razi tibe. That may Allah be happy with you. End of story. Yes, obviously, that's his objective. This person's come to please Allah to me, to my company. Where else has he come? Yes, that he hasn't come for some other reason, has he? So Allah Ta'ala has also to us given us the whole Ramadan for this reason, brothers, that after 1 year, we run around like monkeys and animals, and what's our hal in the dunya? So Allah Ta'ala, during Ramadan, within Ramadan, He instills the barakat and He gives it greatness, He gives it glory to Ramadan. And such nurani and illuminated that it's unique from all other months. Yes, from one month to the next month, but this is unique because in this month that the connection and the relationship between the human being and his Rabb is strengthened after a year. So Allah has given us Ramadan for this reason. Don't run towards other things. The ibadat we do all year long, brothers, and do as much as you want all year long. That we read 20 rak'ah in 20, read after Ramadan 20 as well. Who stopped you? This is just a practice. It's refreshing us, reviving us. As many Qurans we complete in the Ramadan, we can complete after Ramadan as well. Who stopped us? Nobody. So here Allah Ta'ala has given us a revival that continue to do this afterwards. Today you pray 20 and then the fard goes tomorrow. What is this? That you practice through nawafil during Ramadan. Ramadan says you've prayed 20 nafil salah, but you don't pray the fajr in the morning. Tell me. Then what practice have you done for what? The Taraweeh, we run to Taraweeh for nafil. But after that, when we've revived our deen, refreshed ourselves through nawafil, Allah has made your nafil in a high level, then most definitely that your value and appreciation for the fard will increase. Or it should. The small thing you're emphasizing on, then how great will be the great action. But it's sad to say that we have not understood Ramadan, I think. I don't know what we have understood Ramadan to be. We don't understand its words. We think deen is upside down somehow or the other. Just all we've done is that we put a different stamp of approval. But those who understand, for them they will see, you will see the difference in those people. Their lives will transform. They'll understand that I've understood Ramadan. What practice it gave me? Why did it come? It was practice. Now I come to the reality afterwards. So Allah Ta'ala has also in this way has given us Ramadan in during Ramadan. Allah has given us more ni'mas and rewards of Ramadan, and upon Ramadan, nur ala nur, light beyond light. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala has made the situation, inna anzalahu fi laylatil qadr. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, His rewards, Allah has given us a great, fantastic reward. Allah Ta'ala in this month has also inserted a night, such a night as Allah inserted into this month. That is a unique and munfarid night. Allah has praised and defined this night Himself. He's defined Himself. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Where does Allah start this from? First, Allah explains the beauty of this night. Allah explains the beauty. What is the husn? Subhanallah. That the greatest person in the world, the greatest personality, the most beloved Anbiya, the head of the prophets, the head of the Nabis, the head of the Rasuls, Shafi al-Muslimin, and in the hereafter, he will have the highest rank. He will give Shafi and he will intercede for everybody. Subhanallah. And the most afzal kitab that Allah Ta'ala revealed from all the kitabs is the greatest kitab that Allah Ta'ala revealed. Inna anzallahu fi laylatil qadr. Subhanallah. And look at the honor of this night. The honor of this night. Inna anzallahu fi laylatil qadr. Lo, we revealed it on the night of power. The Mufassirin, the commentaries have said there are three parts to the meaning of this. One is, Qadr is the value. The value. Yes? When something has a value. And, yes? And also you can say that value can be with regards to also being tight. Yes, in terms of not having enough. And qadr sometimes can also be amount of high quantity. So it could be high quantity, it could also be small. So if we take all these three meanings in this night, and this proves, and in the meaning of this tafsir is clear then, that this night is the night of qadr. And if we look at it, then what's the value? Then its value is what? Allah Ta'ala has explained. Inna anzalahu fi laylatil qadr. Wa ma adaraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. Subhanallah. Ta'ala says it's not a small value of this night. The value of this night is what? It is that for one, you get 1,000. You do one action, Allah says 1,000 months equivalent. Yes, how many years? and that we get, if you pray salah, you'll get the reward for how many years. If you do talaba today, you'll get this much reward. If today, if you do tawbah from the sins, then you'll get this much thawab. So how great a statement this is of Allah in this night. Qadr, 83 years and 4 months equivalence, subhanAllah. So that's the quantity. So how valuable Allah Ta'ala night, Allah Ta'ala has given to us this night. So valuable. And for which reason has Allah given us this night? What's the objective of this night? The same reason why Allah gave us Ramadan, and after Ramadan Allah gave us this night, and He made this night very valuable. And in this night Allah Ta'ala says that I will listen so much to your words and I will listen to you. So in this night, tonight also is the 25th night of Ramadan. There were two companions who confirmed that this night, 25th night, is the night of Laylatul Qadr. One is Hasan radiallahu anhu, and the other companion is not in my mind his name at this moment. Two companions who confirmed that in this night is, they said that the 25th night of Ramadan is the night of Laylatul Qadr. So Allah Ta'ala in this night, He will have shown them or bestowed to them something. But this is the standard Allah Ta'ala has kept. Remember, there could be the 21st, it could be the 23rd, it could be the 25th, it could be the 27th, it could be the 29th. Sometimes it's 21, sometimes 23, sometimes 25, sometimes 27, sometimes 29. Our job duty is to seek it in each of the odd nights. Don't just go after one. But when we see the statement of two companions, then we also consider that let's not just be lazy and just stick to the 27th. We should do the action also on this night, the actions that we should do on the night of Laylatul Qadr. Such a valuable night. The angels descend, they come, Allah Ta'ala is opens the doors, Allah's court is there, Allah is waiting, that the objective I've given him the night for, that he should attain the objective. So let's understand, but it's hard for us to understand the objective, isn't it? We don't easily understand what is the reason, the purpose, the who should, what objective should we understand, and who will explain to us that when we see on the night of Laylatul Qadr, when the 27th night comes, the ajib, everyone with their own style is doing his own action. Okay, fine, do ibadah, do a lot of worship, do tilawat, there's thawab. Allah said, yes, there's thawab. But it's not the objective of this night. Do you not understand what I'm saying? Do what you want to do, worship, but it's not the purpose of this night. Okay, you can recite Quran, you'll get the equivalent to 1,000 months of thawab, reading Quran, you read Quran, you get thawab. But brothers, if you don't get the objective of this night, then what's the benefit? What's the achievement? There's one objective of this night, that our Rabb who is unhappy with us, we need to make Him happy with us. If you do this, then you've attained the night of Shabbi Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. Then do all the ibadah on top of that bonus, you'll get equivalent to 1,000 months. Isn't this the case? Yes, we have to please Allah on this night. Now, if you want to make somebody happy and pleased, if he's unhappy with you, and you want to make him happy, then how do you switch the situation? How do you turn it, flip the situation? How do you get that person onto your side? That this person is upset with me, he's my friend, he's distressed with me, displeased with me, I need to make him happy. What do you do? Okay, let's talk about home now. Yeah, let's talk about home. Your wife's upset with you. Yeah? And hunnu libas, that we know each other very well, what they like, what they don't like each other. Yes, and you also have friends. So when somebody want to make them happy, then you think, yaar, oh, I need to please this person. What shall I do? And he goes to the shop, and he goes and buys something that person likes. And he likes the rose flowers. He goes, okay, let me purchase the roses. Oh, I can't buy them, only in Manchester. He needs to make that person happy, then he'll travel to Manchester to buy them. Because he knows that I need to please this person, and there's only one thing, this is a good thing, they'll like it, and he'll be happy with me, and he'll be pleased with me. So even if he has to travel to Manchester, oh, I can't buy from this shop, you have to go there, you'll get it there. And then you'll find it there, you'll purchase there, and he's able to get it there, it's very expensive. But the more you try with the love to make that person happy and pleased, then definitely you'll travel there, you'll purchase the item that so that this person can be happy with me, the person you need to get the happiness from. Is this right or wrong what I'm saying? You'll do this, won't you? So Rabbi Kaina, the Lord of the universe, if he's unhappy with us, then how do we make him happy? Think now for a few moments. That which flower should we buy? From which garden should we get the flower? What things should we purchase that Allah will be happy with? And Allah, how do we please Allah? I ask you the question, what should we present in Allah's court tonight so that our Laylatul Qadr is attained and we can become successful? This is the message, isn't it? That Allah, if Allah is a Nabi, whoever pleases Allah, he's successful, isn't it? And to please Allah, we'll have to find out now, research, how do we make Allah happy? Allah Ta'ala is so merciful and gracious. He's told us about, don't worry, my servant, even if I'm happy with you, bring this thing for me and I'll become happy with you. I'll be happy with you. Allah has even told us this. He's unraveled the secret. So which human being is it that doesn't know? Now you read the Quran. All of you read the Quran. Everybody reads the Quran. Everybody knows that Allah Ta'ala, He's happy with what thing. But we don't please Allah with that. Even then, we take shortcuts. Even then, we try to run away. We'll do other things left and right, but not on that line. To please Allah, let me please Allah doing this and doing this. Give sadaqat, pray nafal, pray tahajjud. No, Allah says, no, I don't want these things. I'll only be happy with one thing. فَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Subhanallah. My Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Prophet, to follow his sunnah and make him happy, follow his sharia, follow his principles, then forget about happy, I'll make you my beloved. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Is this not the case? Has Allah not said this in the Quran? Did Mulana Sahib telling you this? Is Hazrat Sahib telling you this? Is Muhaddith telling you this? Who? Allah Himself. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ And how is Allah announcing it? Through who? قُلْ Say, O my Mahbub, I wanted that you yourself with your beautiful statement announce. Because you'll be ashamed of saying your value, that I am so great, and that look for Allah's rada through my muhabbat. But I am the Rabb, I am your Lord, and I want that through your statement the whole universe hears, and they keep reciting this until Qiyamah. Qul, tell the people, oh my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with your blessed and beautiful tongue, tell them so tomorrow they cannot have the excuse. No, no, Yar, Allah's Nabi sallam, He didn't say this. He didn't tell us to do this. There will be two things included. This is so confirmed now that someone gives you a letter, and in that letter, in that envelope, there are two stamps. One is the king's stamp, one is the wazir, strong stamps of approval. So here, on this action, two stamps of approval. Qul, one is Allah saying Qul to his Habib. And secondly, Nabi Karim Sallam himself is putting the second stamp on. So there's no element of doubt, slither of doubt remaining. There's not 1% of doubt left. Anyone can complain and doubt this statement. So mustanid, confirmed and sealed by Allah in the Quran. And Allah says in the Quran order, that recite the Quran as much as you want, fine. But listen to this message. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Until Qiyamah, the Quran will remain, the deen will remain, that this is the deen, Allah says. فَاتَّبِعُونِي This is the deen. Yes, you can change the generation, the era, Qiyamah can come, but which deen will run? What the Quran has prescribed. Do you believe in the Quran or not? I ask you. Who is saying this? Who is saying this? Maulana Sahib is telling us this. Is Mufti Sahib telling us this? Is Hazrat Sahib telling us this? Who is telling us, who is giving us this message? Who is giving us this message? The Quran is giving us this message. And whose blessed tongue is giving us the recitation? Our Holy Prophet Sallam. Whoever is a man on both of these, Allah and His Rasul has said, this is totally correct. I cannot reject this verse. But those people who don't have iman, they say, no, 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 we don't believe in this, we don't follow this rule. That Allah's Nabi Sallam, He gave us more tafsiri, as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. And he said, mustanad as well, how he confirmed these words of the, how he started the hadith. As Abu Huraira, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. I swear by Him. In other words, who? Allah, Rabb. The Allah Ta'ala could have said this, but no, what a beautiful statement. He said, Nafsi biyadihi. That I swear by Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Is this not hadith, my brothers? Is this not the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did Mulana Sahib say this? Did Mufti Sahib say this? Did Hazrat Sahib say this? Did Peer Sahib say this? No. Who is saying this? Imam Ul Anbiya himself is telling us. Subhanallah. He said, I'll tell you the tafsir of Fatabiyuni, Surah Al-Imran, this verse. I'll tell you the tafsir of this verse, said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now tell me, how many veils and barriers in front of our eyes, our nafs, and deception, and fraud, and lies, and greed, and dunya, and material, and nafs. How many veils of fraud that we ourselves have hid our deen. Say subhanallah. So much we have hidden our deen that we've hidden ourselves and other people, we don't even tell them what is the deen. Tell me now. The thousands of possible shows that Allah will be happy through this, Allah be happy through this, do that, do other things. But nobody will tell the right thing, that in any action Allah will not be happy. Whatever you do, whether it's Laylatul Qadr, you do du'as, or you go to the Kaaba and stand on the roof and do du'a, you could go to Madinatul Manawra and do du'a. Because Allah's made the principle, it's been printed, Allah's revealed after creating the universe, Allah said, lazim, compulsory, you have to do it this way. Do you not understand what I'm saying? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُبْنُ اللَّهِ How can you reject this message? If I have iman and if I'm a believer and I want my akhirah to be successful and I want Allah to be happy with me and I want Laylatul Qadr to be attained and I want my Ramadan to be accepted and my ibadah to be accepted, I want my Quran to be accepted, then the first principle that Allah Ta'ala will put down the condition is what? فَتَّبِئُونِ فَتَّبِئُونِ For the sake of Rasulullah, وَاسْتَي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ That's it, confirmed. Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu said, I swear by Allah, that what iman are you wandering around in the world with? Which iman do you measure your iman with? Which scale do you put your iman on? Which basis do you measure your iman with? It cannot be a mu'min. You cannot be a believer. It's a deception of your nafs. Your iman will not be accepted by Allah. That you cannot say that you're Muslim yourself and think that you're a believer. Nur will not come into your iman. La yu'minu ahadakum. حَتَّى أَكُونُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَلَدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَقَمَا قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ That's it. This is the basis. This is the measurement scale. Now do you understand that Allah, why is He unhappy with us? Because we have left this action. We have everything else under the sun we do. But Allah is not happy. So most definitely Allah Ta'ala, He has given us a reminder in this night that you remember me. If you want to make me happy, if you want to attain my pleasure, and you don't know about your life, there's no guarantee. All your life will go to waste. Your actions will go to waste. Every single action, for Allah has given us the relationships first. Who is most closest to a man? Who? Why do you earn money and make money and buy clothes? You do all the thing in the world more than your own self. You do it for your kids. You earn for your kids, for your mother, father. Allah has given you such a relationship that from the blood, Allah Ta'ala made the blood come out. Isn't it? Look at the situation. Father, that for example, does the son or the daughter's face is similar to the father? The hands and the feet are similar. You say, this is his father. And his actions, his habits will be similar. His qualities will be similar. His mindset will be similar. Yes, rather, you will see sometimes in the world, scientifically proven, that the genes continue. If he's intellectual, then the children will be intellectual. If his taste is according to this, then their taste will be similar. If he's doing that, then they'll also do similar. Yes, my walid said, my father, I remember this, respected father, that I used to study, when I used to study in my subject, somebody used to study this subject, so I took such an ajeeb, unique subject that everyone was surprised. I said, I want to study geology, I want to become a geologist, I said. That I want to get a degree, I want to go to university and study geology. Everyone said, how comes that from 100 that they look at one man doing this, that why are you going towards this subject? I said, no, that I want to look at the plants, I want to look at the stars and the universe and the formation. This was my desire, my habit. I want to look at the things of the world, at the heavens and the skies. I want to be a geologist and geography. I want to study the science of the earth. So I realized at that time I didn't have the ilm, knowledge. That was in my genes. Because I realized that my father himself, in this, he also had a degree in advance in geology. Yes, what was this? Sometimes you see that if the father is a doctor, then the children that comes into them, their habits, and they also become doctors. They have that desire, that passion, that yes, by hook or crook, because that's in the genes, isn't it? It follows through the generations. So father, that he has a desire, And for example, if he's a little bit mad, if he talks loudly, or if he's angry, then the children, if in his habits and nature is anger, then he's angry. If he's stubborn, he'll be stubborn. So they go on the father. The children, or on the mother. Could be on the mother as well. So what is this? This is the blood. And the blood is such that from within the human being, he multiplies and it comes into the other being. So how much love you have for the children. So Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nabi says, how he selected for his love. Allah Ta'ala says that the blood relationship that is in your genes, in your generations, even more than this, you'll have to detach yourself from this. If you want me, Allah says, when I come in, then my rada is greater than the blood relationship. My rada, my pleasure is greater. For example, that today the whole world is leaving the obedience to the Prophet ﷺ, leaves the sunnah. For these reasons, people leave the sunnah and the practice of the Prophet. This is the reason, first and foremost, a person says, the relatives come between the blood and people for which that they break the obedience to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. They shun the obedience to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Mother, father, children, relations, relatives, all of them, they say, oh, don't. For example, nafsi biyadi, when I say the whole world, if the whole world is stood on one side and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is on one side, you will have to accept the sunnah and shun the dunya. This is lost. No, this is happening. Don't take haram. This is the part of the deen, the test of the deen. And this is where the nafs will be crushed. All life long, your nafs will not be crushed. And if your nafs is not crushed, Allah will not be happy. And the nafs is only crushed in one way. As Junayd Baghdadi, rahmatullah, what a great person. As Sayyid al-Taifa is his title. He said that all my life long I did mujahidah, I worked hard, I tried to crush my desires, my nafs. Some people did mujahidah, 40 years they hanged upside down in a well, going to the jungle, into the wilderness, do mujahidat, ibadat. Just to do what? To break the nafs down. At the end he said, I conclude after doing everything, the conclusion I came to was the nafs is only killed through the practice of the sunnah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That anybody, if he wants to crush his desires in his life, then he needs to make the sunnah his yardstick. His nafs will be cooled and frozen. Doesn't matter how fat and strong is his nafs. Doesn't matter how much he invites you towards the wrong. But when the dawah is coming from all corners from the nafs, then sit with one response. That what is the sunnah of Rasulullah with regards to this subject, this matter? That's it. But we have been, the shaitan has stolen this from us. Waswasa, sunnah is nothing. It's not important. It's not necessary. There's no need for you to do this. Look at it afterwards. We are forced to leave the sunnah. We have to follow the other ways. If we don't do that, what can we do? How will we answer? We fail. That me and you, from me and you saying something, the law of deen doesn't change. Or does it tell me? Does the law of the deen change? No. So Allah said again, okay, fine. I'm unhappy with you. And the reason that I'm unhappy with Allah says is this. And it's not our measurement, yastik, that Allah, my business is flourishing, my children are there, we're happy at home. There's everything. Whether you're unhappy, whether there's issues in the world with you, or you've got comfort in the world. This is not the way you measure if Allah is happy with you. Even if you're in the worst of situations, you've got poverty and hunger, you've got sickness and illness, and you're about to pass away. If you are stood on that action that Allah Ta'ala is happy, in other words, the sunnah, then your sickness and maladies and problems and disease or tightness and you haven't got money, this shows that Allah is happy with you. Allah is happy with your poverty. Allah is happy with your sickness. Allah is happy with the fact you ain't got no money. Oh, we say, oh, this is up on this person. He doesn't have anything to do. You know. Oh, he's got problems. Maybe it's due to his sins, we say. Why is this problem he's got in his life? Oh, maybe Allah is happy with him. Allah doesn't give azab to anybody. Allah is Rahim, Kareem. He gives money and wealth. Allah to the disbelievers, he gives foods and drink, we say, and comforts and luxuries. That morning to evening, they swear to Allah. They dishonor Allah. They do sajda to ghair. And other people, Allah Ta'ala has given them money in their households and they're happy, they're enjoying life, we say. How can it be that Allah's unhappy with them? This is not the measurement basis. This is not the way we measure that they have got comfort and luxuries or they've got problems. But the measurement you ask is that who is following the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and who is not? Who has put his children on the way of the deen and who has not? In whose house is the law of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sharia, and who, in whose house does it not be implemented? Say subhanAllah. This is the measurement yardstick. This is the determining factor. This is the message that, what has come? Laylatul Qadr has come with this message. And how do we twist it and turn it? One is this message, and today we see how do people celebrate Laylatul Qadr. Tell me, how do they celebrate Laylatul Qadr? Yes, this confirmed message of the Quran and Hadith I've shared with you today, everything is underneath that. Everything is underneath that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night in Ramadan, this night has given it just for which reason? That my servant makes me happy, says Allah. That's why Laylatul Qadr has come. But if Allah Ta'ala is happy, only then we'll get paradise. If Allah is happy, only then we'll be saved from the azab of the qabr. If Allah is happy, only then we'll cross the bridge of Sirat. If Allah is happy, only then on the day of resurrection will we get success. Everything is based and hinged on Allah's rada. Allah's happiness. Allah says, make me happy. May we please, you still got a chance, you're alive, I'm giving you such a night. And no lengthy deed you have to do, just come to me, promise to me, Allah says, that today, tonight, Allah, I've understood your message. You give me a great, fantastic opportunity. Such a great night you've given to me. Inshallah, my life, I will adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to your statement, Allah, I will live that life. Whatever responsibilities you give me, children, they also, inshallah, Allah, I will make them live according to your deen. You give me a business, even that I will run my business according to your deen and the sunnah. In my dunya, every man, my wife, my children, my relatives, my boss, everybody, Allah says that you are the greatest, Allah, and Rasulullah is the greatest. Anyone who comes in between and puts their toes in front of this, I say, sorry, I don't accept what you have to say. I will not listen to your statement. I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry, apologies, because I have to die tomorrow, and I don't want to leave this world without iman. This is the promise and pact, 100% solid, we have to make today with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why He's given us this night of Laylatul Qadr, such a great night. That's the purpose of this night. And whoever does not make Allah happy tonight, what do? We run after many other actions to please Allah. Everything is jaiz, permissible. No one said it's not jaiz. Pray nawafil, read Quran, do du'as, recite du'as, do everything. Do everything. Everything's fine. But Allah ta'ala said what? Everything you're doing is fine. But do that action through which you attain my pleasure. Tell me that first. Show me that statement that will earn my pleasure. That I've announced in the Quran. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Let's just bring that first. That's the condition. And if we see here, that everything our nafs gives us the permission to do, everything is easy. You've kept the fast. Nafs, even though it's hard, difficult physically, I'll say it again, ask those people who live in 100 degrees Fahrenheit, who keep the fast, ask them what is the severity of the fast. Don't make your own basis and measurement and criterion for fasting. Even those people who kept the fast, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, is severe heat. Nafs will say, do it, no problem. But where will nafs get stuck? That if Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, keep the beard, they won't keep the beard. Nafs won't allow it. Do Umrah, it'll let you do Umrah, it'll make you do Tawaf, it'll make you do Hajj, your nafs, it'll make you give Sadaqah and charity, but nafs says, no, don't do this, because nafs knows if he does this action, then Allah will be happy, so nafs will get stuck. Yes, so nafs is right, if you keep the beard, you kill the nafs, Allah is happy. Subhanallah. As of Junaid Baghdadi, his statement, Sayyidu Taifa, he said this statement. The house is destroyed and ruined. That place is destroyed. With pride we say, my son is this, they are this, he's done this, he's attained this, he's achieved this. Openly we say this. But those people whose eyesight is very long-sighted, they say, you've got all of these things in your house, but Allah's happiness is in your house. Subhanallah. Are you making Allah happy or not? These people who've got so many worldly things, that do they know how to eat according to the sunnah? Do they know how to wear clothes according to the sunnah? Their basis yardstick criteria Allah has defined that whatever he says do, whatever he says leave it. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma taqul. Allahu Akbar. Such a great criteria Allah has given to us. Clear, crystal clear. That's it. Whatever Rasul says take, ataakum rasulukum, take it. Whatever he orders you, instructs you, leave it, refrain it, then refrain from it. Abstain. Do we have this in our house? No, we don't have this, Allah, but everything else we've got, we'll bring to you. And he does this, my child does this, my family does this. This is called the deception of the nafs. Khankah, as a person goes to the khankah, they don't teach you the walis of Allah to pray salah. They don't tell you fiqh and jurisprudence, masail. They don't teach you tafaseer, commentary of Quran. No. Subhanallah. What does the Khanqah teach you? The Waliyullah brings you into the practical life and he makes you learn the color and the effect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sibghat Allah, the color of Allah, they bring it into your life. Wa ma ahsan. What a beautiful color is the color of Allah, isn't it? The Quran says, isn't it? Yes, Sibghatullah, Allah says that I'm free from all the definitions. If you want to see the color of Allah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah says, this is my color, the color of Allah. Subhanallah. When a human being, when he starts practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, ظاهري, باطني, externally, internally, then what does he do? Everything, ظاهري, the walking, talking, you see him, akhlaqan, conduct, manners, معاشرات, environment, society, personal life, society life, everything should be based according to sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Complete, 100%. Then consider, alhamdulillah, what does he become? That Allah is happy with that person. And if Allah is happy with that person, then he's a wali Allah. That's it, end of story. End of story. He's attained wilayat. So wilayat, the darajat, they are there. Rasulullah sunnah, you attain the daraja of wilayat via implementation of Rasulullah sunnah. Say subhanallah. Man, woman, a person, Allah's given you the treasure of iman and you depart the world without iman. You're going into the grave without iman. Then the life, never did you make the sunnah as your standard of lifestyle. Never made it the criterion of lifestyle. Even though our life standard is just the sunnah and that's it. That's it. You understand standard? Lifestyle, making something the basis of your life, the purpose of life, example of life. You know, just like it says, Allah says example. So our whole life, Allah has told us himself, don't make any other example of life. Allah says, I've sent my example myself to you. What is my example? Why? Because the moment Allah has given him the glory, the believer is walking, talking, standing, sitting, eating, sleeping, every single thing, urinating, going to the toilet, passing the stool, going to your wife, the dirt's coming out, going out, so going to the world, whatever you're doing, Allah says every action of yours is ibadah. Every single action is ibadah. What value Allah has given to your life? Every action, second, not just going to the masjid and talk to Allah. Every action of yours is about the actionable thing. On which point? That when you implement the action, according to the example of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you eat something, drink, and you're free, in the morning comes out your stomach, go to the road, what life is that? Subhanallah, if you eat and make the Prophet sallam as your example, that same food you eat like that, that becomes nur in your body, light in your body. Subhanallah. Every action, A to Z of your life, is ibadah, muamalat, your personal life, buying, selling, relatives, relationships, everything. What is our example in our life? What is the example? Who, if you're upset with your wife, if you're not happy with your wife, how did Rasulullah teach you how to bring her back on your side? That my uncle is happy and unhappy with me. What was the tariq of Rasulullah? How to bring your uncle back on your side? As a person's enemy with you, how should I have the relationship with the enemy so I can have a good relationship with him? Business, you're running a business. Everywhere is the example. My Nabi, what tariqah did he prescribe of how to run a business? What do we need to see? Loss or profit, not of the world. We need to see profit and loss of the hereafter. Subhanallah. What do we see? Here's the deception of shaitan. If we leave the sunnah, then your sale will be 2,000%. If the sunnah comes, then your sale will decrease to £100. So, I'm going to die. What do I do? I can't live with £100. I need £2,000. I need to bring up my kids. I have to pay tax. I have to buy a nice car. I have to do this. I have to do that. All the stories we bring in front of us. All the Jack and Retail stories. This is the test of life. وَلَنَبْلُوَلْكُمْ بِشَيْمْ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوِي وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Allah says, life, the test, the challenge, the barriers. Sometimes you're sick, sometimes you're happy. Sometimes Allah brings you onto the road. Sometimes Allah gives you the heights of wealth. Sometimes Allah puts you in a jail. Sometimes He puts you on the throne. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes you are upside down and drowning in a well. Sometimes you're in the ditch of the well. Sometimes you're on the throne. Come, do sujood to Him and do sajda to the 11 stars. Allahu Akbar. As a Yusuf alayhi salam, look at his story. The taklif, the difficulties and the pains in his life. You see how that story, Ahsan, that's called Ahsan, the great example in front of us. That so much, mashallah, he was beloved son, and where he was, and the punishment, and the difficulty, the brothers pestered him, they threw him into the well, bim ghulam, slave, he was sold, to one extent that his izzah, his honor, they were trying to steal, he said, what shall I do, how do I get saved? And his brothers, they pestered him, they beat him, he was sold, bim ghulam, ghulami, servanthood, slavehood, and then he was made beautiful, even the women folk started to run after him. And such husn and beauty until today I've never heard. Otherwise such a haseen and beautiful handsome man. They're watching him and by mistake they were in a trance with his beauty and they're cutting their fingers with the knives. As Aisha radiallahu anha in response to this said a beautiful thing. She said that beauty, those women of Misr, they cut their fingers. But if someone saw my beloved Rasulullah, then their hearts would be slit. Allahu Akbar. That there, they wipe their knives onto their fingers. But Aisha's mayar, her basis, radiallahu anha, was greater. That my mabub, nobody can compare to his beauty, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah made him his beloved. So when Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty was this, subhanallah, that they cut their fingers, the women folk, then Rasulullah, the master of the two worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine his husn, it was not made apparent in this world. Nobody could see it for a second. Nobody could see the beauty of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody could see the reality of his beauty. So this is the extent. To this extent, Yusuf alayhi wa sallam had difficulty and test, and his izzat was at stake. His honor. And he was upset. What shall I do? Allah, the doors are sealed and locked. This woman's come. She's saying, come. She's beckoning me. And if you don't do this, I'll put you in prison. Tell me. And she's trying to bargain with me, with my beauty. And she said that he is capable of this, that he has to do this action. All the women folk, they were sat there and she's making them confirm. And he was put into the corner and forced. And to do that action and to save himself, to save his honor, she's thrown him, threw him into the jail and made him amongst the prisoners, my brothers. Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala, that those people who go into the cell, the prison, they know what is the cell. But there's a difference. One is those who go into the cell of the dunya, and one of those who go into the cell of Allah. Those who go into the jail of Allah, then that is not a prison for them. It's not a cell. It becomes a portion of paradise for them. Subhanallah. It becomes a place of paradise for them. Because it's for Allah, that place, that cell. So as a Yusuf alayhi salam went for Allah Ta'ala's sake. He went for Allah Ta'ala's sake. That was for protection of his deen. So such a great test. He was a Nabi, a prophet of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala, the whole story Allah mentioned in the Quran, that read Surah Yusuf and take the enjoyment. Am I right or am I wrong? So, yeah, you can mold it one way. You can make a story of love or passion. But this was the story that one Nabi Allah said, I sent, that took him to this place, that took him to that place, sometimes down and low. Eventually, when he became successful, and he was successful in the test, Allah said, then I sat him on the throne of Misr. Subhanallah. That was the conclusion. What's the message? That today, if you do the same, if you go up, you'll go down sometimes, hardship, sometimes luxury, sometimes comfort, sometimes test, sometimes examination. But the test will be passed in only one way. That did you follow the way of my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or do you shun it and regard it? Do you leave haram, or do you leave sunnah? Do you follow the sunnah, or do you leave haram? Tell me. Every part of your life you have to make the decision. And as the eras continue, as the years pass, Rasulullah said, that do, if you want to see the Dawah of my life, then be ready. Don't make false claims. Be ready for poverty. Be ready for hunger. Because such a generation will come fast with the test. You don't become a lover of Rasulullah. Go out on a march and you love Rasulullah. Say two things loudly and you become a lover of Rasulullah. That's not how cheap it is to buy, to confirm your deen. Is this how cheap is the Rasulullah's love? Allah Ta'ala reveals such verses. Allah is saying, Lamruka, I swear by your umr, O Rasulullah. Allah said, I swear by your age. If Allah Ta'ala himself is swearing by his age, then how valuable was his age, his life? Allah swears by his city. Say subhanallah. So the whole of Ramadan, it is about Rasulullah Sallam's life, it is about his sunnah. This is Ramadan, this is the message of Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. Whoever celebrates in this way, inshallah, the highest standard, if you want the highest level of Jannah, the highest maqam, the highest standard, then have your life that's, this is also sunnah, this is also, not this is also. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say subhanallah when I say this. Say subhanallah. Don't say this is also sunnah. Not B. Do what Rasulullah Sallam did. That's it. No, oh, this is also okay, this is also okay. No. Shun those ways. Sharia gives ijaza for everything. Yes, this is not the case. Do it. Make the niyyah. Allah will open the path for you. And you think yourself, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you mashallah brothers. You are traveling this journey with the fadl of Allah, Rasulullah's sunnah in his path, you've grabbed hold of it. Yes, no doubt. That you started, the Naqshbandi, that's his start is on the sunnah, the Naqshbandi student. When you go to a sheikh, a Naqshbandi student, then first and foremost, this is his tawbah, his repentance, that do tawbah. What? That I will implement and adhere to Rasulullah's sunnah, zahiri wa batin. Yes, this is all you need to do, that it will take long to get you, but then first change your zahir, your external, straight away, immediately. The teacher instructs. Yes, zahiri, don't delay. Immediately change your zahir. Straight away, the crown is put on the head of the student. Subhanallah. And on the face, the beard adorns the face. And the tasbih is given in the hand. And on his tongue, Allah is taught. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the glory of the sheikh in the Naqshbandi silsila. The Naqshbandi order. That's what they teach. No left and right, lengthy wazifa, lengthy struggle, strain, nothing. These three, four things are taught. When you grab hold of them, the sheikh says, go, you are now the wali Allah. Subhanallah. And your path is clear. Now work hard on this, the amount you can, as much as you can. It's the left, there's rest to you, the more you work hard. I've shown you the path, the teacher will say. I've shown this is the path. And whatever you want, you can get elevation and make your building more beautiful and adorned. In the Allah Ta'ala's court, if you want Allah's qurb, there's no restriction. The amount of love you want to attain, attain. The amount you stick to this solid to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and the sobat and difficulties and problems, the more you persevere and endure. Alhamdulillah, say Alhamdulillah. That it's not against the sunnah. Is this what I'm doing? Is this not against the sunnah what I'm doing? Is it? What I'm saying? That's it. And restrict yourself to that path. And those tests and problems, those barriers, those sicknesses, never consider that as Allah Ta'ala's displeasure if you're following the sunnah. Remember this point. If you're following the sunnah, Sharia, never even think if difficulty comes in your life. Subhanallah. That this should be our basis and criteria. The biggest alim is he who revives the sunnah. Biggest hafiz is he who revives the sunnah. Biggest mufti is he who revives the sunnah and decides on the sunnah. Biggest sufi is he who decides on the sunnah, practices the sunnah, and tells other people to practice the sunnah. Have one criteria of life. Biggest person is he who implements and is closest to the sunnah. That's it. Because these words of the love and the time for breaking the fast has come as well. Iftar. Okay? 4 minutes left. Okay, we'll do the sunnah, the dhikr of Allah. So today is Laylatul Qadr, my friends. Do you understand what tawbah we have to do tonight? The rest ibadah put to one side and promise to Allah. That is first. Say it to one side. That's it. That's it for all of us. Do it. Do other ibadah. But first and foremost, this condition. Allah, my whole life will pass. My lifestyle will pass on the sunnah of your Habib. I will give nasiha to my children on the sunnah. I will teach them how to eat and dress, wear their clothes and how to talk, adab of the masjid. Everything I'll teach my children what Rasulullah defined to us. Haram rizq, I won't eat. I won't consume haram. I won't do haram actions. Doesn't matter how sick I am. I'll come onto the pavement. I'm poor. I won't do no wrong action. I won't lie. Do we make this promise, brothers? I mean, otherwise, see, we'll stay like monkeys and apes, and thousands of Shabi Qadr will pass, and more will come. This is just, you know, what is it? Just like a game, you know, like a drama. Drama, people have a celebration, the words not coming to mind. You know, like a day, a celebratory day. So don't have a celebratory day. These are nights to do, do. Action.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alamin. یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ سیدہ کبیرہ سارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا ہماری بیماریوں کو دور فرما یا اللہ ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما ہماری پریشانیوں کو دور فرما ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہر مشکل سے نکال دے عافیت نصیب فرما اللہ اپنی رحمت نصیب فرما اپنی برکتیں نصیب فرما اپنے انعامات نصیب فرما ہمارے گھروں میں برکت نصیب فرما ہمارے علم میں اضافہ نصیب فرما ہمارے علم میں اضافہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ جو بھی ہم دین کی خدمت کر رہے ہیں میرے مولا اس میں اخلاص نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہماری آج کی اس مجلس کو قبول فرما ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما پورے امت کی بخشش فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک اللہ